24, the book of Leviticus. That's the third book in the Bible. And chapter number 24. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. And I certainly desire your prayers today that the Lord would help us in the message that He's laid upon our heart. Leviticus chapter 24, verse number 10 through verse number 16. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shilomith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth, the name of the Lord shall be put to death." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here today. I want to thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given to us. And I ask for your help today. I ask for the touch of the Lord upon the preaching. Lord, everything that's said and done today, I commit it into your hands. I ask for your help. I pray you'd bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder in the service today in any way whatsoever. I pray the word of the Lord would just have free course. I pray for the help and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd have your way. I pray you'd save some soul. I pray, God, that we as your people, those that are here today and saved, Lord, that we would have a greater desire to live for thee and to make a difference in these last days in which we live. Help us, Lord, to be salt and light to those round about us. Now I pray again and ask for your help, and we'll thank you for all that you do. I ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back and begin in verse number 10 again. Just read that verse and part of verse number 11. The Bible said, "And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed." As far as I can tell, in studying this subject I'm going to preach on today, there are four main categories of prohibited speech, things you ought not to say. As I study the Bible, I find that blasphemy is one of them and cursing is another. To be profane in one's speech is another thing that God has said not to do, and that's where we get our word profanity from. And then swearing. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 34, Jesus said, swear not at all. Of course, we are familiar with swearing and cursing and blasphemy and all these things. There's several subcategories of that. There's in the Bible, you find literally, if I could have studied it all out, you find all kinds of prohibitions about the use of the tongue. The Bible talks about filthy conversation in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. It talks about evil speaking, corrupt communication, Great swelling words of vanity, 2 Peter 2:18. The Bible talks about shameful speech, talks about filthy talking. There's all kinds of what we might say subcategories to cursing. What I want to try to preach on today, with the help of the Lord, I just want to preach on this simple subject, cursing. What the Bible says, cursing. What the Bible says about the subject of cursing. Now, I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart, and I stopped trying to argue very much with Him at all a long time ago. I just said, Lord, are you sure? And the Lord wouldn't lead me in any other direction. So I just said, all right, the Lord knows I don't. Sometimes God just calls you to take the part of a prophet and do what Isaiah said in Isaiah 58 and verse 1, where it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Sometimes God just calls you to deal with something, and the Lord knows why that He does that. But you know today, and I know today, that no doubt we're living in a cursing, swearing, profanity-laced, blaspheming, filthy talking world, all the way from the White House down to the schoolhouse. There's nowhere you can go to get away from filthy talking and cursing. I've heard some of the highest leaders of our land talk like a gutter trash, is what they would have called it once upon a time. This past week, one of the college football teams, I read an article last night. He was the quarterback for FSU. I think his name is Jameson. They wouldn't let him play in the game yesterday because he stood up in the student union and gave out some great big, it said in the article, profanity-laced, sexual-themed oath before everybody. And so they suspended him from the game, wouldn't let him play. You say, what do you say about that? I say, don't let him play the rest of the year. You know, this past year there was a movie came out, and I think it was earlier in the year, and it's called The Wolf of Wall Street. Maybe you've seen it advertised, but they were talking about that movie that it broke the all-time record for one swear word. One swear word, one word, and I'm not going to even insinuate what it was, but 506 times in one movie, just one swear word. And there's several articles about how bad the cursing was in that movie. So we live in a world that has just plainly become used to cursing. But I want to point out some things from this passage of Scripture, and I hope it'll be a help to God's people today. First of all, I want to say about cursing, what the Bible says and teaches. And as we think about this, cursing is a first sin. Cursing is a first sin. Now, it's not the first sin that was ever committed. It's not the first sin that most people will commit. But many times, it is the first sin that is learned and becomes a habit in a person's life. Now, you look here in verse number 10, what the Bible says. It says, and the son of an Israelitish woman. What this passage of Scripture is, it is a sad story of a son and what happened to him when he began to curse and to blaspheme. Well, where did this son learn how to talk like that? I suspect from the Scripture that we're told where he learned to talk like that. The Bible said in verse number 10, whose father was an Egyptian. Now, I'm not preaching against Egyptian fathers today, but I'll tell you where he didn't learn to curse. He didn't learn to curse from Moses, and he didn't learn how to cuss from Aaron, and he didn't learn how to cuss from the Israelitish people. God had told them, thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. And so they knew better, but no doubt he learned from his Egyptian father what it was to cuss and blaspheme the God of heaven. Many a person, if they could retrace the steps of their life of sin, would trace back, if they could just go back in time and say to themselves, where did I begin to get off track. Do you know they wouldn't trace in their life back to a first murder? That they wouldn't trace in their lives back to a first time they ever committed adultery, or they wouldn't trace back to a first time that they ever got drunk or something like that. But no doubt many could trace back in their lives to a point where they begin to curse, where they begin to just maybe around friends or maybe away from home, and they begin to say a curse word here and there. And you know, one leads to another, and they would be able many times. Now, a lot of people do not go further than that. Not everybody that curses ends up in prison or ends up killing somebody or stealing from somebody. But a lot of people in their life of sin could trace back to younger days where they just begin to not talk right, where they begin to cuss and to swear. I remember when I was a little boy and probably first or second grade. Now, I did not go to kindergarten. I was too smart for kindergarten. They just put me in first grade, and that's a true story. And I was too old. But anyway, they put me in first grade. So my first or second year in school, I remember coming home from school, and I remember asking my mom what a certain word meant. And I didn't know that what the word meant at that time, but I'll tell you, I do not forget her reaction to me asking what that was. And she didn't say, "Oh, this is what it means." She began to say, "Who said that? Where'd you hear that? What were y'all talking about?" And she wanted to know. And boy, it wasn't long. The dial was lit up on the phone. And I'm sure it wasn't long. There's some other things lit up somewhere else about what they was talking about. But you know, that's one of the first sins that I ever remember going on was people beginning to talk as children, beginning to learn to curse and to swear and to be foul-mouthed in their talk. And maybe you have a remembrance, something like that. But there's something about little boys. And sadly, I believe in our society now, even little girls, that little people, little minds, it makes them somehow feel bigger when they can imitate what they've heard somebody cussing. Anybody can cuss. You don't have to be a big person. You don't have to be educated. In fact, it is an indication of a very small mind and a small mentality that thinks they have to cuss to get their point across. Many times little boys, they'll sneak around, they'll begin to cuss, and they'll begin to say things. Some people, some parents even, think that it's a cute thing when a child comes off with a curse word or says something they ought not to be saying, and they'll laugh about it and maybe even encourage them to say it around somebody else and laugh about it. But you know, it's a serious thing to live our lives in such a way to encourage children in a wrong thing. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 42, Jesus said, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones," he was talking about little children, and that word offend there, it means to put a stumbling block in front of. Anybody that would put a stumbling block, anybody that would cause a little child to trip up, to get started down the wrong path, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, anybody that would offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. That's pretty serious. It'd be better for him if he is dead than to cause a little child to stumble. Many times cursing is a first sin. Second of all, look in verse number 10, cursing is a fiery sin. Verse 10 said, "And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel," look what the Bible says, "strove together in the camp." What does that mean, strove together in the camp? It means that there was an argument got started. There's a quarrel of some kind. There's a fuss of some kind. The Bible doesn't say what it was about. It's not important what they were fighting about. Maybe they were playing a game. Maybe they were working together and got to arguing over whose tool was whose tool. Maybe they had a piece of land. We don't know how old they were. We don't know what they were fighting about, arguing about. But we just know from the Word of God that these two sons, these two men, they began to strive together. And it wasn't long there was anger. It wasn't long there was tempers raised. And the next thing you know, here they are and they're cursing and blaspheming the one man. Biblically, cursing is always associated with some other sin. And as we study this out, the Bible said, for example, Psalms chapter 10, verse 7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. That's about five other sins right there. Fraud and deceit and mischief and vanity. Psalms 59, verse number 12. Cursing is associated with pride. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8 tells believers, put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. What I know and what you know from observation in life is when people get mad and go to cussing one another, it's not going to be long. There's going to be all kinds of trouble. There's probably, unless somebody intercedes or gets cooled down real quick, there's probably going to be a fight breakout. You ever been around and seen something like that? I mean, if you're not even involved, it'll tear you up on the inside. You ever been out in public? You ever been somewhere and seen somebody? And that's always how it starts. First they's arguing, then they's cussing, then the next thing you know, they's fighting and screaming. It's not like on TV. It's a horrible thing. Horrible thing to see something like that. It's a fiery sin. It's always associated with other sins, goes along with it. It's an accessory sin. That's what it is. And it goes along with a lot of things. Cursing does. Look here. Did you notice? I know we haven't read on down, but look, he's talking about this son. But notice the very next verse, number 17. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. Not everybody that gets killed. There's cursing involved, but there's a lot of killing takes place that's associated with cursing. Starts out like that. Cursing's a fiery sin. It's not a neutral thing. I mean, it spurs a reaction in other people when you hear anger and cursing. And that's what was going on here in chapter number 24. It's a fiery sin. Number three. Today, I'm going to try to move along. I've got seven things and I'll be done. Number three today, the sin of cursing is a frustrating sin. Look what it says in verse number 12. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. That means that they took this son and they put him in prison. That's what ward in the Bible means. When somebody is put in ward, they're put in jail. They hauled him down to the county jail and they locked him up until the mind of the Lord. God, what do you think about this? See, it wasn't something that was a habit in the land of Israel. It was something that was so shocking that it caused the fight to stop. And they arrested that man and they put him in jail. They put him in ward and they went before God and said, God, what do you think about what that man said? You think about that. You want to know what God thinks about cursing? Study Leviticus chapter number 24. But it's a very frustrating sin. What do you do about it? Say, preacher, we live in a world. You're comical if you think you're going to have any impact on all the cursing that goes on in the world. What do you do about it? It's already against God's law. It's against man's law sometimes. They punish that football player for standing up and cursing, saying what he said. I don't know what he said. But somebody somewhere said, that's not right. We can't have that. We're not going to allow that. We got to punish him some way. So he doesn't do that any longer. If you study about the history of our nation, in many states, in many counties, there were once upon a time anti-profanity laws. Hey, you can't talk like that. What are you going to do about it? You can't, even on television, as bad as it is, there's just some things they can't say. It's censored. Oh, ought not to have censorship. We have censorship. You can't write a letter to the editor and just say anything you want to. They won't print it. There's laws against certain ways of talking, whether you recognize it or know it or not. You can hang up signs that say no profanity. You can get all the parents together before Little League starts, and this is what they do now. They say, all right, you parents. Now, they don't say it like this, but basically, you have to agree if your child is going to participate that you'll be a good person. That you won't yell and harass the refs and the coaches, and you'll watch your language and all those things. I mean, there's all kinds of deterrents against it, but you know what? You can't stop it. It's a frustrating sin. It is a sin. I mean, you can lock a murderer away where they cannot murder anybody else, but what can you do with a cursor? You can't stop it. That's what I'm saying. It's a frustrating sin. They locked this man up. They said, Lord, what's your mind? What do you want us to do about this? The Bible said in James 2:8, the tongue can no man tame. You can't tame your own tongue, let alone anybody else's. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison is what the Bible says. James chapter 2 says the tongue is set on fire of hell. The tongue has started more wars and split more families and caused division in more churches than any other thing under the sun. It's an unruly member is what the Bible says in James chapter number 2. George Washington, first president of the United States, said this about cursing. He said, the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing is a vice so mean and low that every person of sense and character detests and despises it. George Washington would not allow his troops to curse. If they were caught, they'd be punished. But you know what? He couldn't stop it. It's frustrating sin. And they put that man in prison. They said, Lord, what about that? We don't know what to do about it. We don't know how to stop it. God said, I know how to stop it. Well, that's pretty serious, isn't it? God didn't say fine him 500 shekels. God didn't say lock him up for 6 months. The Lord didn't say, what did the Lord say? He said, stone him to death. That's really the only way you could ever stop it. And then it would just be stopping one individual at a time. It is a frustrating sin. Number 4 this morning, it is a fouling sin. Now, when something is foul, that means that it's polluted. Like you shoot a rifle and you foul the barrel. You've got the barrel dirty. It's got something on the inside. It means to be polluting. It means to be defiling. Well, that's why when somebody's a curser that you say they've got a foul mouth. They got a dirty mouth. They've got a polluted mouth. But it is a fouling sin. Look in verse number 14. What the Lord said to do. Verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Can you imagine what a solemn procession that was? Bring that young man out, and everybody that heard what he said walked by put your hand on his head. Yeah, I heard him. I heard him. That was a testimony against what he had done. But you know what? It affected all of the people that heard him curse. It's a fouling sin. Say, I didn't do it, but I heard it, and it affected my heart. And it affected my mind. And it got it, them people that heard that man, they weren't involved in it. They were just maybe even innocent bystanders, but they said, I heard it, and I'll never forget what he said. It's a fouling sin. I remember when I was a little boy, again, a little older than first or second grade, I was probably 10, 11, 12, somewhere along in there. Our parents took us to see a popular movie at the time. And I remember that, I don't know how come we went. We used to go every once in a while, not all the time. But when you, once upon a time, you didn't know what you was getting until you got there. Didn't have all this information like we do. Let's just go and see if it's any good. I remember we went to the movie. I was sitting, Mom is here. I'm on this side. My brother's on the other side. They go to said a cuss word in the movie. And, of course, Mom trying to protect us. Slap your ears. Trying to cover our ears. I'll never forget that. We'd say, but Mom, I done heard it. Done heard it. Finally, do you ever remember this? I remember getting up out of the theater and leaving. Just getting up and leaving. Not going to sit there and listen to that stuff. That's the kind of house I was raised in. Most of us that are my age and older, you didn't grow up with profanity all the time, everywhere, in movies, and you just, once upon a time, you could actually find some good movies. But they would always, used to be G, general audience, PG, parental guidance. I've seen more than one PG movie when I was growing up, and we'd go with our parents sometimes, and they'd say, you know, that was a pretty good movie, but it had one cuss word in it. Why'd they have to put that curse word? Ever remember anything like that? That'd have been, it had a good story. It was clean. Buddy, you can't watch enough. You cannot watch anything now that's not filled with sex and innuendos and, I mean, just filthy. Once upon a time, you come across, that's a pretty good movie. Why'd they have that one cuss? Why do they have to put one cuss word in it? It could have been a G. It could be fit for anybody, but a lot of them, once upon a time, years ago, just have one cuss word. One cuss word. Well, where are we today? 508 cuss words. One cuss word. PG, PG-13s, 14s, it don't matter. On television, I mean, it's cussing and swearing. Once upon a time, people got offended over one cuss word. And now you hear it all the time. It's a fouling sin. And I'm afraid in our day and time that we are so fouled by it. We are so defiled by it. We're not even bothered by it. We don't even hear it a lot of times. We've either learned to tune it out or we've gotten so used to it and so hardened to that sin that it doesn't bother us anymore. Buddy, that's a sad state to be in. I'm just telling it like it is today. Do you know Lot lived down in one of the most wicked cities and towns that there ever was, Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was even bothered by what went on around him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. What's that mean, preacher? Verse number 8 says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Lot lived down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it vexed him, it troubled him in seeing and what he heard. What do you guess he heard? That filthy conversation means more than just their actions of their life. It meant how they talked too. And Lot couldn't stand it. It bothered him. Does it even bother us anymore? That is so fouling all round about us. Well, we say, well, we're just used to it. But isn't that just a way of saying we're just have accepted it? Well, we're just used to it. Isn't that just a way to say, well, we're just hardened to it? Why would we get hardened to it? Because we become defiled with it. Say, I'm not doing it, but I hear it so often it just doesn't even bother me any longer. I remember when I was a little child, I remember the first time ever really being around somebody that cursed a whole lot, and it scaring me. I associated that with being evil and wicked and mean as a little child. And I didn't grow up in a Pharisee's household where we were told we were better than anybody else. I mean, that was just a natural way a child. Boy, you hear something like that, buddy, I know that's not right. That bothers me. Remember the person that comes to my mind, I always thought, man, they're wicked. They're wicked. But we become used to things. In verse number 14, the Bible said, all of them that heard him lay their hands upon his head. They were all affected by it, but you know what? They didn't excuse him, they condemned it. When they walked by and put their head on his hand, they were condemning. I'm not talking about being holier than thou. I'm no better than anybody else by any means, but I'm telling you, we ought to condemn what's wicked. We shouldn't just say, well, just get used to it. That's the way it is. No wonder it's so difficult to pray and to worship and to have a revival in the church. We've heard so much just in passing. We're not like a rifle that burns clean powder. We're like a muzzle loader. You hunters, you know there's a difference. I've got a muzzle loader that shoots black powder. You can shoot that thing about 3 times. You'd better stop and clean it. And it's the filthiest old mess. It covers everything, every crevice. It is hard to get it clean. It's fouled on the inside. I believe that's where we are in our day and time. Just go places, hear it all the time. Don't even bother. Don't even bother us. Lord, help us. It's a fouling sin. Number 5, it's a fearful sin. Look in verse 15 what the Bible said. "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin." You ought to underline that in your Bible. "Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger." Now let me just say, while I'm thinking about it, I'm not promoting we take somebody out and stone them to death. We're looking in the Old Testament what God thinks about it. And what the children of Israel did about it. We're not the children of Israel, we're the church. But it's still a fearful sin. The Bible says the one that does it, he'll bear his sin. James 1 and 15 says, "And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The New Testament, the Lord Jesus, Matthew 12, 36, Jesus said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Can you imagine that this morning? Every idle word. People curse and don't think a thing about it. People gossip. People say things they ought not to say. They don't think a thing about it. The Lord Jesus said, every idle word. A man, a woman, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment is what the Bible says. Noah got drunk one time, did he not? That's a blotch upon his character, no doubt about it, but he only done it one time. David committed sin with Bathsheba. As far as I know, he committed adultery one time in his life. Moses killed a man in his younger days. One man. But you know, somebody cusses, and you get in the habit of cussing 10 times a day, 100 times a day. I was in the military with people, I guarantee you, throughout the day, they cussed 1,000 times a day. Just flowed like water out of them. You've been around, people put it in a sentence, it doesn't even make sense. They just interject it all along in front of anybody and everybody. And you know what? In the eyes of God, every word is adding up, adding up, adding up. Here's what the Bible says, Psalms 109, verse 17 and 18. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing like a garment, so let it come into his bones like water and like oil into his bones. God said about the wicked, if he loved cursing, let it cover him like a garment. Let it come into his bones. Cursing just brings a curse on one's own self. Whether they answer here in this world or in the world to come, it is a fearful sin. God said, let every man bear his own sin. Going to pay for that. Can you imagine? Noah one time. A blasphemer, thousands and thousands and thousands of times. It's a fearful thing to think about. Number 6, it's a fruitless sin. Now, a drunkard or an adulterer, they could actually make the case, and I'm not justifying it, but they could make the case and say, well, I had pleasure in sin for a season. Well, I went out and had a good time. What'd you get out of it? I had a good time. David, what'd you get out of that scenario with Bathsheba? Had a good time. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. I enjoyed it. I regretted it after. Wish I hadn't done it. But I had a good time. That's what he'd say if he was trying to justify it. A man that's a thief, he went out and stole something off of somebody, he's got a piece of money in his pocket. He's carrying it around. It's going to come to no good. But he got something out of it. He's got something to show for his trouble and what he done. Somebody that murdered somebody. Maybe they settled an old score. And said, yeah, he might have hurt my sister, but he'll never do it again. I'm not justifying it. But a man that cusses, a woman that swears. Boy, I had a staff sergeant, a woman in the military. She cussed better than any man I ever heard in my life. He'd just light your ears up. I hated to go in the office. I hated to be around that. I detested that. But what's somebody like that got to show for it? Not one thing. Not one thing. There is no justification whatsoever. There's no good reasoning behind it whatsoever. Nothing. I mean, a person like that is actually damning their soul to hell. Got not one thing to say in justification of it. There's no justification. It is a fruitless sin. It is an empty, vain thing. There's no good reason. Cussing makes other people angry. It pushes people's buttons. It makes them mad. People, children that grow up in a home like that, they can be scarred all their life from what they've been heard and how they've been talked to. Nothing to show for it. No good reason for that. It's a fruitless thing. Innocent bystanders are affected by it. Nothing good comes from it. It's a fruitless sin. No good reason for it. Number seven, and last of all, it's sadly a familiar sin. Now over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and I'm not going to leave Leviticus chapter 24, but I want to read a couple of verses over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 20, the Bible says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." I can't stand here today and tell you I've never been guilty. It's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Verse 21, "Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others." The Bible said, better be careful about pointing that finger. There might be four pointing back at you. God knows in our hearts. Oh, we might talk about somebody else cussing, but God said, you know in your heart, there's been times that you've cursed others. That's what the Bible says. I'd say it'd be a rare individual to find that never uttered anything out of the way whatsoever or thought anything in their heart. I'd say that'd be about impossible to find. It's a familiar sin, sadly. You know who the two most famous cursers are in the Bible? Well, one is Goliath. He's the biggest cursor in the Bible. Do you know that? He's big in more than one way. The Bible said that he cursed David by his gods. He's the biggest cusser in the Bible. But you know who else is a famous cursor in the Bible? Peter. The Bible said when Peter got under pressure the night before the Lord Jesus was crucified, and they said, "You're one of them. You were with him." And he denied the Lord, and he denied the Lord, and finally got frustrated. And he said, then he began to curse and to swear. "I'll show you I'm not associated with him. I'll do the very thing that denies him more than anything else." He began to curse and to swear like an old sailor, like the old fisherman that he was. He reverted back to that old man before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them is a big sinner, one of them is a big saint. But they both cursed, and they both swore, and both of them's condemned by the Lord for doing that very thing. But I'll tell you, Peter's cursing affects more people than Goliath. I just expect that Goliath will curse, but it's hard to hear out of the lips of Peter, the one that wrote that you're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of his mouth come cursing and swearing. Cursing and swearing, it's a familiar sin. Christians, I want to say this world that we live in is watching and listening to everything you do and say. And it's a hard world to live in. What are you going to do about it? The Bible said, number one, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, that'll help you. Go down the road and think about that, and then when somebody cuts you off, you might not be as inclined to think bad of them. If we was filled with the Spirit of God, and we had a good song upon our heart and upon our mind, we ought to be filled with the Spirit. We ought to be fortified by the Word of God. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. Without walls, anything comes and goes." Better fortify your heart and mind with the Word of God. Have some self-control about us. Literally, sometimes you have to bite your tongue. Zip your lip. Do what you can. Fortify yourself. Be forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I've not found anything that can get all the fouling out of a barrel of a muzzle loader.
But I'm thankful I know about something that can get all the fouling out of my heart and my soul, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us and cleanse us, the Bible says. I like that cleansing part. From all unrighteousness, be forward. Ephesians 5 and 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I don't go around pointing my finger at everybody that says a curse word. Now, I'm not going to say something all the time about when I hear somebody, but I'll tell you what, I sure don't have to stand there and grin and laugh about it. I sure don't have to stand there and listen to it. I don't have to go along with it. If there's more people in the world filled with the Spirit of God, see, that's the divine restraint upon a sinful world, is the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God in our lives. But you don't have to go along with it. You can still get up and walk out of the movie. But I promise you, you know before you go if it's going to be worth seeing or not. And if it's full of cursing, why would you subject yourself to that? You can't do it without it affects you. Be forward about it. I want to say today, if you're here and you're lost, Mark chapter 7 and verse number 21, I believe it is, says that every evil thing proceedeth out of the heart. What's it say about? And it talks about blasphemy and pride and covetousness and murder and deceit and all those things. Where's that come from? Comes from the heart. Says something about your heart condition. Your tongue says something about your heart condition. Matthew chapter 3 verse 7. I give you the message of John the Baptist. You know what he came and preached? Matthew 3 and 7. Look it up. Flee the wrath to come. Flee the wrath to come. Buddy, that life, that sinfulness, that unbelief, that rebellion, it'll catch you up one day. Flee. Flee. Hell is worth fleeing. The wrath of God ought to be run from. It's what John the Baptist preached. I say flee. I say forsake it. The Bible said in Isaiah 55 and verse number 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's repentance. That's turning from it. That's getting right with God. Forsake it. The Bible said, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Forsake it. There is a refuge at Calvary where Jesus Christ shed his blood for the remission of our sins so we could be saved. We don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus paid the price so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could be saved. And I say forsake that way of living. And last of all, I go back, I read one more verse in Leviticus chapter number 24, the very last verse of that chapter. They said, Lord, we don't know what to do. God said, I'll tell you what to do. Take him out and stone him. It's a sin that's not forgotten. Now it talks in verse number 17 about he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. In verse 18, he that killed the beast shall make it good for a beast. God goes on and tells him about some other things. Verse 20, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But look down at verse 23. And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. It's a sin that's not forgotten. They didn't get to talking about something else and say, well, that's really severe. Maybe we ought to just forget about it. God told them a lot of things, and then they went out and done what the Lord told them. That's serious. That's a sad day. Place your mind and go back and think about Mama and Daddy. Think about the stones falling on that boy as he took his last breath. That's a horrible picture. But sin is a horrible thing. Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sins so that we don't have to die. Isn't that a blessing? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Say, preacher, that's an odd message.